Today on The Journey.
Be content with what you have. Be content with who you are. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid.
Do you ever feel you aren't up to the job? Silly question, isn't it? Even the most competent people have times when they think they're inadequate to the task. So what do you do in those moments or years? In this broadcast, Ron Moore explores that question, helps us understand the feeling, and shares a biblical solution for our deficiencies. Before that, a quick word about our premium offer for this series titled A Biblically Managed Life. It's a 7-step quest for a fulfilling life guided by God's Word, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron with the message, Fear of Inadequacy, on The Journey.
Too many people will spend too much of their lives trapped, held down by paralyzing fear. Fears that keep our spirits bound. Fears that keep us from the true freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Fears that keep us from getting to that next level of the Christian life, that level where God wants us to be. They rob us of years of our life. They keep us imprisoned. And one of those debilitating and destructive fears is the fear of inadequacy. Now, while this fear hits both men and women equally, as Lori has talked to young moms and others have shared their experiences, I've come to believe that this fear is epidemic in the lives of women who have been given that heavy responsibility and assignment of raising children. We hear it from women whose husbands are standing right there with them. We hear it from women who are raising children alone, single moms. We hear it from mothers in blended families who have the added complexities and emotions that come along with that. The fear of inadequacy comes out in sentences like, I don't measure up. I'm not sure I have what it takes. I'm exhausted. I'm in over my head. I'm not sure I'm doing this thing right. What if I mess up my children? If I don't have my spiritual life together, how can I pass it on to my kids? See, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I'm not for sure what it really looks like to mother in a Christian way. I'm overwhelmed with the weight of the decisions I have to make. I don't know how to protect my kids from the culture that seems to be sliding south fast. And then, in the couple days during the year when you're feeling pretty good about yourself, your children will remind you, you're really not doing a good job, after all. Little encouragers, aren't they? So let's see what the Bible has to say about this paralyzing fear of inadequacy. Again, this instruction is to us all, but let's direct some specific application for mothers. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 3 for a textbook case on the fear of inadequacy by one of the greatest leaders of all time. Quick context, you know that God is getting ready to deliver his people here in Exodus chapter 3, deliver them from the slavery in Egypt, take them to the promised land. He needs a strong leader. He needs a mentor and a model who will encourage them and lead them and discipline them and instruct them. And he handpicks Moses just like he has handpicked you for the job of being a mother. Here's the commissioning that God gave Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 9, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And when Moses hears that commissioning, that command to go, I've chosen you, this fear of inadequacy grips his heart. And look at verse 11, he asks the question that many of us ask when we are in this fear of being inadequate. Moses said to God, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Now, it's interesting because 40 years earlier, Moses thought he was ready to take it on. You remember when he was 40 years old, he knew that God had put his hand on him. He knew he was a leader and he was impulsive and he was self-confident. And he went out and he saw an Egyptian beating up an Israelite. And so he killed the Egyptian. He saw two Hebrews fighting. And so he broke up the fight. He thought they knew that God had placed him in this position of leadership. Acts chapter 7, verse 25 said, Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them. But they did not. They said, "Well, who are you? Who made you judge over us? You're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptians?" And Moses said, "Man, I didn't know anyone saw that." And so he ran. That's what fear makes us do. But yesterday's failure is never an excuse for today's calling. You may have tanked yesterday, but yesterday's failure is never an excuse for today's calling. God has a specific assignment for you, but Moses isn't quite sure he believes it. Who am I? Surely you can't use me. Here's the first observation I want to make from today's passage. The fear of inadequacy causes us to question our value. I'm not up for the task. My past failures get in the way. They may disqualify me altogether. I don't have what it takes. Now notice how God responds. Moses, you're right. You can't do it on your own. But look at verse 12. God said to him, "I will be with you." You're inadequate on your own, agreed, but I will be with you, and I will never call you to do something that I won't prepare you for and give you the gifts to do. The fear of inadequacy will remain embedded in our heart as long as we ask the wrong question, "Who am I?" The right question is, "Who is my God?" He's the one who stands by my side. He's the one who will give me everything I need to do what he's called me to do. So moms, when you're having a bad day and you wonder, "Who am I?" instead of a self-help Christian book, just jot down this passage, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, and be reminded of this truth. Be content, the writer says, with who you are and be content with what you have. Because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we can say with what? Confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid when God's on my side. What can men do to me? Moses wasn't quite convinced, though. He still has some other excuses. Look at verse 13. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and they say to me, 'The God of your fathers has sent you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name? What will I tell him?'" Moses says, "Fine, I appreciate that you're going to be with me, but—" Moses' question is, "Are you going to be enough?" Here's the second observation. The fear of inadequacy is fueled by belief in an inadequate God. It's one thing to feel inadequate on our own, isn't it? It's another thing to feel that God is inadequate. And that's where most of us struggle. Can I really trust God? Can I be the mother God wants me to be? Yeah, God is with you. Yeah, but is God enough? Look at verse 14. God said to Moses, "Here's what you tell them. I am who I am." That is what you are to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent you." Now, the word "I am" is the first person singular of the Hebrew verb to be, the self-existent one. In the third person singular, he is, that's the Hebrew word Yahweh, the name for God. And when it shows up in our Bibles, most of our translations, it's not Yahweh, but when you see the Lord written with all capitals, that's a translation of the word Yahweh. I am who I am. You see, the fear of inadequacy is squelched by the admission of my own personal inadequacy. I can't do it on my own. I know that. But God can. And He's more than adequate. See, He's the Holy One, remember? He is the incomprehensible one. He is the eternal one. He's the independent one. He is the all-knowing one. He's the all-powerful one. He's the all-present one. God is the one who loves me with an unconditional love. He's adopted me as His Son through Jesus Christ. He allows me to call Him Abba, Father. I am never inadequate with Him standing by my side. So when you feel like you're inadequate, or if you feel like God is inadequate, here are a couple passages. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who in the world could be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us everything we need? And here's another one, 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God is able to bless abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Think about that. At all times, in all things, having all you need for whatever God's calling you to do, you will abound in every good work. Why? Because God is right there with you. Number three. The fear of inadequacy will continually ask the question, well, what will other people think? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, okay, I know who I am, I know who you are, but what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? See, the fear of inadequacy is driven by our concern about what other people think. Mothers, here's the deal. You cannot fear God and fear man at the same time. You're going to have to make some decisions that are not popular with your children. And they won't be popular with your children's friends' parents. You're going to stand by yourself sometimes. You're going to have to tell your daughter sometime, sweetie, I love you. But you cannot leave this house wearing what you're wearing. I know it's in style, but you can't wear it. And if you knew what those middle school boys and high school boys were thinking when your stylish daughter walks by, you would turn 50 shades of red. And you know what? She wants you to tell her that. She needs an excuse not to wear that stuff because she feels the pressure of that. She wants you to be her mother. Not a 25-year-old older friend, but her mom. You need to set boundaries for television, for movies, for video games. You know, the counselors tell us one of the big issues today in 30-somethings is guys addicted to video games and neglecting their marriages? Where does that start? The fear of inadequacy will tempt you to be your child's friend. You're not their friend. You're their mother. If you do your job well, one of these days it'll become a friendship. But mothers, you need to have the courage not to worry about what other people are saying. Proverbs 29 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Paul says this in Galatians chapter 1. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And if you're trying to please everybody else, you're not going to be a godly mother. Number four. The fear of inadequacy, if we're paralyzed by that, will produce a feeling of incompetence. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Literally, I am heavy of speech and tongue. Probably doesn't mean that Moses had a speech impediment, as some people say, but that he's just fearful when he gets in front of a Pharaoh and he needs something to come to his head. It's not going to come quick enough because he's not going to have a lot of time in front of Pharaoh. So he's saying, Lord, I don't think I'm that quick on my feet. Like some will say, look, God, the bottom line is I just can't handle the job. See, you've given me a pretty big assignment here. And I don't have what it takes. God, I hate to be so bold, but you're asking me to do something that you haven't given me the skills to do. You know my background. You know the psychological damage that I have from my mom putting me in that river. I didn't know it was a watertight basket. I had no idea. Raised by a stepmom. Sheltered and spoiled in the palace. All the confidence I had ripped away from working for my father-in-law for the last 40 years. You just haven't given me what I need to do what you're calling me to do. God, I hate to say this, but you are supposed to be all-knowing. You should know better. You ever feel incompetent for the task? You ever feel inadequate for the heavy assignment? Single moms? Blended families? Look at verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak and teach what to say. God says, Moses, I got you covered. If I give you an assignment, you'll have what you need. Paul learned this as well, didn't he, in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. He's talking about his thorn in the flesh that is making him feel inadequate. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power might rest on me. Isn't that great? Paul says, I'm inadequate, but I want Christ's power to rest upon me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then what? God shows up. When I am weak, then I'm finally strong. So Moses still has one more thing to say. Really, he's cutting to the chase now. Look at verse 13. But Moses said, oh Lord, the bottom line is, I don't want to do it. Lord, please send someone else to do it. Number five is this, the fear of inadequacy will lead us to unhealthy places of disobedience. Too often the fear of inadequacy leads us to this honest confession, doesn't it? God, this is too hard. I don't want to do it. I don't want to tell my kid no. I don't want to tell them yes. I don't want to do the hard work of leading them spiritually. You know what? I think I'll just send them to a Christian school. That'll do it. I'll send them to the youth group. I'll let them take care of it. That 1 hour, they get them a week. I don't want to make the hard decisions. I just want to go along with the cultural crowd. I mean, I don't want other parents irritated at me because I didn't let my kid do something. See, at the end of the day, the fear of inadequacy led Moses to say, God, the bottom line is this, I just don't want to. Look at verse 14. The Lord's anger burned against Moses. God was not happy with Moses' disobedience, nor is he happy with ours. Whether you're a man or woman, a husband or wife, a mom or dad, a stay-at-home mom, a working mom, a homeschooling mom, it doesn't matter. If you're disobedient, God's not happy. Now, Moses is the one who wrote this, so somehow, and I don't know how, he felt God's displeasure. The Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, well, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on the way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. God gave Moses a partner. You see, men and women, the fear of inadequacy is addressed when we admit our inadequacy. We can't do it. When we quit pretending to be superhuman. God is calling you and has called you to something bigger than you are. And you have to be the strong mothers in your generation that God is calling you to be. Anything you do worthwhile is going to be bigger than you are. This is an eternal job. You think you're up for the task? No, but God is. And he's going to walk right there beside you. This generation desperately needs mothers who will stand strong, who will demonstrate what it looks like to live for Jesus Christ, even when they're the only one living for Christ. And mature women, you cannot slide for home. You have got to step it up. You have got to, on your own, find a younger mom who is going through what you've been through and tell her, I didn't do everything right, but I'm here to walk through this with you and encourage you and help you. We desperately need you to do discipleship one-on-one with a young mom, maybe in their home because they can't get out because they got three kids. You have to guard your hearts. When we think of an affair, we think of a man, right? Well, I got news for you. Most affairs are heterosexual. They involve a woman. And unfortunately, I've heard just as many stories lately of women going astray as men going astray. You need to be careful with this social media stuff. Again, back to the counselor. That is one of the things killing marriages. You got to tend to your marriages. And I'm not trying to be overdramatic here, but I'm hearing from too many places the strains and the failures on marriage. And I believe our marriages are under attack. We have to have men and women fulfilling the biblical roles of marriage who refuse to push the problems underneath the carpet and get the help they need. Men, you're the leaders. Lead. If you got something in your marriage going on, get some help. We need men and women who will not be paralyzed by the fear of inadequacy. God's living right here in us. We got everything we need to do what he's called us to do. He is with us. He's promised to give us everything we need. And he says that without hesitation. And he says that without reservation. Hebrews 13. Be content with what you have. Be content with who you are. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid.
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. What does a biblically managed life look like, and how can you experience it? Ron Moore takes you on that spiritual journey in his booklet titled, A Biblically Managed Life. In its pages, you'll discover an eternal perspective that informs 7 days of life-altering challenges from Scripture. Things like how you can invest God's gifts of time and resources, living with a spiritual mind, and the influence you can have in this world. A Biblically Managed Life is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to tell us about an exciting event.
If you live in the Pittsburgh area, I want to invite you to join us in person this summer for our Relevant Faith Apologetics series at one of our campuses in Robinson, Ross Traver, South Hills, Washington, or at our Wilkinsburg campus. If you live outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join our online campus on Sundays via our website, our app, or our Facebook page. This series runs from the weekend of August 10th and 11th through September 14th and 15th, and it tackles some of the most important questions facing our culture today. Questions like, is there absolute truth? Is the Bible reliable? The person of Jesus Christ and the significance of the church. So visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org. You can get more information there about this series and about our church. And our prayer is that through this engaging series, God would draw unbelievers into a relationship with Jesus Christ and equip believers to defend their faith and stand for Christ in their schools, in their workplaces, and communities. We'll see you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. Also, please remember to order your copy of A Biblically Managed Life. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.